At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back to Comics Versus, a Lorehounds podcast. I'm Alicia, reporting myself safe from bird blindness.
And I'm Jean, DC Universe co-host and a guy who knows better than to mess with Eagly on his home turf.
Hi, and I'm Aaron from Radioactive Ramblings, joining today to talk body disposals, interdimensional drunk dials, and the rest of Peacemaker Season 2, Episode 3, A Man is Only as Good as His Bird.
You can listen back to check out our season one recap and breakdown. And also we talked about the Suicide Squad. We talked about last week's episode, of course. But for now, we're just going to get into the spoilers of it all. Jumping right in, not only talking about episode two, we're going to be talking about any DC movies, TV, or comics that come up as well. So first question in the DC universe for Aaron. You got access to Superman this week. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I did, and it was probably one of the best movies I've watched this year. Superman was truly awesome. All of the actors were amazing. The Crypto, the Superdog was awesome. Just really fantastic superhero movie.
All right. So you're caught up on... What did you think about the Justice Gang as you saw them in Superman versus in Peacemaker episode one?
I'm definitely missing Mr. Terrific.
Ah, yes.
He was my favorite part of the Justice Gang. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Guy Gardner being in Peacemaker was definitely... I wish I had seen Superman before I saw Guy Gardner in Peacemaker, because his interactions with Peacemaker were a lot more funny thinking about it in retrospect. Yeah. And I still feel like we don't have enough Hawk Girl content out of the two properties. I feel like she was kind of pushed to the sidelines. I want to see some more of her.
Yeah, definitely. And did seeing Superman influence your opinion of Rick Flagg at all, or you're doubling down?
I'm going to double down. I think he's a bad guy. I think he's definitely... He's petty. He's going to end up doing some really awful stuff, maybe involving the dimensional doors. We'll see, though.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he was a different character in Creature Commandos, where he was kind of a dick still, of course, but there's some like some sympatheticness about him that I'm not getting right now. So it does feel at this point kind of like two different characters, but he's a real... annoying dude in Superman and Peacemaker, you know.
That's so interesting that you say that, because I felt more sympathy for him in this episode than I've felt for him throughout.
Okay, because of his
Creature
son.
Commandos or Superman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Precisely because we're watching him learn about the circumstances of Junior's death. And that hit, that for me, that hit, that scene that he was in, that really, it gave me insight into why he's a dick in this show, right? Mm-hmm. I already knew it, but to see it, it's like, okay, confirmation that, he's reacting solely based on his emotion.
Okay, all right. Well, we've got a full psychological profile coming in as we break down the episode. Let me ask you, Jean, the title of this episode is A Man is Only as Good as His Bird. Is Chris as good as Eagly?
Oh, Lord, they're both horrific. Oh, my God. I don't know which one is worse, Eagly or Chris. Oh, man, if I see Eagly in an alley, I'm running. I'm going down the direction. Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh, they deserve each other. They're perfect for each other.
Like, he was protecting his home.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I respect it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. I respect it. But Lord, that ego, boy, I tell you.
And what do you think about our new Tim Meadows character, Agent Fleury, and his bird blindness?
I hooted when he said that because I was like, what's going on
here? He wouldn't know what bird that came from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true too. But yeah, I thought he fit in seamlessly with this, you know, cast of terrible people. Just basically, that's what it is. It's a cast of really terrible people. They're quirky. Most of them are misfits. And Tim Meadows' Agent Fleury slides right into that and is like perfectly at home with all of these folks.
Yeah.
Fleury is definitely winning the Worst Coworker of the Year award.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have to call out one thing about this bird blindness thing. Obviously, it's been a hit. You know, it's taken the internet by storm. Everyone has bird blindness now. I got the sense it was a stand-in for face blindness. And it's funny because James Gunn does talk about it on his podcast about that. Yeah, indeed, it is a stand-in for face blindness. But as he points out, people who are face blind, they can see the size of things. Like, you know, he's saying people remember his hair or his glasses. And apparently people remember the way someone walks or something like that. So it's not a perfect stand-in for that. It's still funny. I don't mean to poo-poo the joke, but I just wanted to bring up what I thought of while watching instead was people who say, oh, I don't see color. I don't see race. And that this was like mocking that in a way. Thoughts?
No, definitely. I can see that. I can see that part of it. I didn't think of it until you just said it, because I was so caught up in the ridiculousness of Fleury. I'm just like, this is not, I think Aaron just said the Worst Coworker of the Year award. Absolutely. The thing that I thought of while watching him was like, I don't know if you guys ever watched The Office, the US show. With mm-hmm. Dwight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this guy is a Dwight.
But a sexist Dwight, like a deeply misogynistic Dwight.
Yes, he's like Dwight times a million trillion worse, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that Dwight was, multiply it by X factors. And that's who Fleury is. And I was just like, wow. Because people like that actually exist in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, man, this is it's funny, but terrible all at the same time, which is this entire show. Like the show is funny, but it's terrible.
He's an awful person, but it's awfully entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah. I just feel awful for Economos. That guy has never had a coworker who didn't make fun of him 24/7. He's just gotten stuck with the worst people ever.
Aaron, do you want to set up the tagline for this episode and tell us your hot takes on the episode overall?
Absolutely. Economos gets a new handler, Fleury, after failing to distract Flag from Peacemaker. While Adebayo deals with Kia issues, Peacemaker handles dimensional aftermath as Argus acts. All right. My hot takes. All right. I think Adrian, he's really got the moves this episode, both when he's in his little beer shower and when he's doing his thumbs in the pockets.
Yeah, he's got his butt dance, his butt dance.
Twerk it and twerk it. Get my little tush out.
It's my famous butt dance. My butt dance. My butt dance. It's my famous.
Oh, hey, man. What's up? Oh, God.
From season one, episode one.
Oh, it's so good. I'm glad that they brought that one back. He's such an awkward guy at those parties, but he's clearly got some charisma. He's bringing everyone around him in a really awesome way. I continue to be shocked by Chris's interpersonal relationships and just how all sorts of messed up they are, especially when it comes to now mixing relationships in his dimension and in a different dimension. He seems to be wanting to blur the lines a little bit between the two, and I'm worried for him. He's going to have some repercussions from that for sure.
I mean, not to speak for a hardcore, but also I would be insulted if you struck out with me and then went for my alter ego.
Oh, absolutely. And we're finally, of course, getting that representation of bird blindness in our media. It's a big day for bird blindness.
Oh, so Jean, what about you? What did you think about the episode overall?
I mean, we could just, you know, start the pod and end the pod just talking about Eagly and let's all go home. You know what I mean? We don't have to do anything else after that, quite honestly, because yeah, the bird, you know, takes the cake. That mm-hmm. The sequences with Eagly in this episode were just top notch for their brutality and their hilarity. So again, I'm questioning myself. Why am I enjoying this show of terrible people and animals so much?
But they have heart. They have heart.
I think Vigilante is going to be problems.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
Yeah, I think Vigilante is going to be problems because he is so, like, focused on being friends with Peacemaker mm-hmm. that it's really troubling to have mm-hmm. this. It's obsession with this friendship that, you know, he wants and needs, looks like, to make happen. So yeah. What is he going to do to other people who he might deem as being, you know, a hindrance or obstacle to
I'm
that?
Worried about Adebayo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so.
And I don't want them against each other. I just don't want them against each other.
I know, but I think it's heading that way. So we'll see. But I just think Vigilante, we have to keep our eye out on him.
I know.
Particularly. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think you are.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great episode. It felt like a setting up episode. I'm really excited for the next one when we're going to explore the other dimension and see what's up there. But it was really great, especially to see our 11th Street kids back together again. I love when the gang gets back together in general. So yeah, I am looking forward to more team ups this season. But I'm glad that next is going to be like this was the first episode was so packed with story and it ends, of course, with a body. And so this was like the connector between what do we do with the body? How do we find out things? How do we propel Chris into this other universe? And a drunk dial. Yeah, that tracks. I believe it.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
So this episode, like all episodes, written by James Gunn, but this one was directed by Greg Mottola, who is known for like Superbad, Adventureland, Arrested Development eps, Nobody Wants This episodes, etc. He also directed next week's episode, so you can tell they're kind of two parts of a story together.
Yeah, you can see his vision. Watching his other works and seeing this episode, you can definitely tell his hand in mm-hmm. the episode.
It's, yeah. It,
the humor and the satire, much like how Gunn wants to do. So I don't know who influenced who here, but it was just, yeah.
It was
took
nice,
me back to Superbad, actually.
Yeah. It was a nice coming together of, yeah, the right. Adding that tone. His visual style meshes very well with James Gunn's writing.
Yeah, like Fleury was, you know, was a character from Superbad, grown up. You know, so yeah, you could tell his hand.
Yeah, I almost feel bad for the actors who have to play like the quote unquote straight characters in this show because it looks so much fun to be like a vigilante or a Fleury or. So how long are we this week and what's the score looking like?
Oh, where are we? We're at 48 minutes. No. Yeah. It didn't longest? Seem that way, though.
No, flew past.
It felt short.
Yeah.
It really felt short. It didn't seem 48.
Yeah, I think they just kind of like lingered in, because when I look at the notes, you know, there's certain set pieces, and I think they just kind of linger in set pieces. And it was a lot of, it was a hang this episode, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, we definitely got to spend a little bit more time with the characters. We weren't rushing through so many plot points.
Right. It
definitely gave us a chance to breathe after that last episode.
Yeah, and it's, it was 8.1 for episode one. It was IMDb rating, and now it's 8.2. So I think people are just, I don't know that this was better than the first episode. I think people are just locking in, you know, more. Mm. And I think we're going to gradually see people trickle in as, well, especially as like Foundation and stuff wraps up. People are just so behind because of the density of TV these days. But
it's a lot of good TV.
Yeah.
A lot of good shows on.
I mean, it might just be the parts of the internet that I look at, but I've been seeing a lot of love for this show so far.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
Yeah. And for the season as a whole. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. My TikTok For You page has been just absolutely flooded with people doing this season's intro dance.
Oh, wow. Oh, good. Wow.
That's good to hear. Oh, see, if we had video, we would totally do it ourselves.
No.
You don't want to see me dance.
And on that note, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to get into the episode itself.
The morning after. After Chris struggles to hide the body of his alter universe doppelganger, he answers Adebayo's questions about the door to the quantum unfolding chamber that Economo snapped a picture of last episode. And then Vigilante comes over to help him clean up the body. After Peacemaker sends all the naked revelers home.
So I love how Chris is like, literally has an orgy behind him in his living room. And he's like, that weird Methodist shit. I don't know. It's like cult stuff.
Like what? Like, look at your life, bro. Talking about weird shit. Look at your life. Look at your living room.
I feel like I grew up Methodist, but I didn't realize how common it was. And now I see all these pop culture references to it. But I think it's like the most, from my perspective, obviously, which is very specific. I'm like, it's the most normal one because it's the one that I knew.
Right. There you go. This is the one that you do.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you worried about Adebayo and Kia? Do you think they'll end this season together or apart?
No, they're done.
You think that's it?
Yeah, donezo. That's it.
Yeah. I think that their relationship, you just can't change it so much. It's like Kia says, you put yourself in danger all the time now, and I can't be around for that. I can't afford to be worrying about you 24/7 with this lifestyle that you've chosen.
So I know Kia says that she wanted to go back to Gotham, but then that's my question. Why is she still hanging around Evergreen, Washington, on the other side of the country, if she wants to go back to Gotham and is saying they're broken up or time off?
To me, it seemed like she was struggling financially.
Yeah. Hmm.
Right. So, you know,
you think it's easier for her to find a job there than back in the city?
I think maybe, you know, trying to save up for the move. That's the thought that I had. And I don't know if this is right or not, but I just felt immediately like this is someone who's struggling both emotionally, financially, and trying to figure out what the next steps are. Right. So I don't think she's staying there out of love for Adebayo, personally. I think she's staying there out of some sort of necessity at the moment.
Okay. All right. I have a little more hope for them than you.
Of course
do,
you
I guess.
Do. You're such an optimist.
Tell my mom that. so Kia, just a couple of fun things. Kia works at Jitters Coffee, and we also saw and heard Jitters mentioned in Superman. It's like, I love how the DCU, and I know this comes from the comics, has all these in-universe brands that are just like, like Jitters is Starbucks. It's just that world. That's the way things are. So it's cool to see how this is all tied together, these world-building details. But it's also interesting, I immediately clocked, those are different dogs this season. But of course, James Gunn did talk about that on the podcast, and he said that it's, you know, yeah, new universe, new dogs. I suppose it's difficult to get the same ones. So what do you think? Is there anything Vigilante would not do to hang out with Chris?
Nothing. Absolutely not. I mean, we saw they had a threesome last season just so that Vigilante could hang out with Chris a little bit more. I'm not surprised that he was offended he wasn't invited to the orgy.
Yeah, of course he was. I mean, yeah, I think I've never seen, I watch a lot of dark TV. I've never seen a serial killer so happily dismembering a body before.
I mean, yeah, you call up your homie and it's like, and like, I gotta cut up this body, dude. And there's no questions. It's like, I'm coming over with everything that we need, all the tools of the trade. I got you.
I got it.
that's love right there, boy. That is real deep love. Like, we're gonna cut this body up. We're gonna make sure nobody ever finds it.
But can you imagine? Is whomever you would do that for, can you imagine if the body you were cutting up was a copy of that person?
No, I cannot. I can't. But that's not his Chris, so fuck it. Right?
True. He probably is excited for the opportunity to look inside his best friend.
Oh, that, I didn't even think about that. You're right.
We've never been closer than when I had my hands in your guts.
So I agree with Aaron. There's nothing that he wouldn't do for Peacemaker at this point. Right now.
Yeah.
Things can change.
Oh yeah. Well, what do you think could make him turn on him? Something with his mom, maybe?
Finding another bestie.
Do you think we heard Amelia say this episode that he lives at home. Adrian lives at home with his mother. And so a joke about her rotting Norman Bates style, which is a Psycho reference. What do you think? Do you think she is like rotting Norman Bates style? Or do you think she's going to be like ultra normal or like 50s bacon cookies style?
No. I when she said that, I said to myself, no, I don't think she is. I think she might be more like Penguin's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's where my mind went. Like, I don't think she's dead. I think she's like this. Yeah, I just think I have a feeling she could be like a normal, wholesome mom. But there's a part of me that thinks that would be too good. Like, so there's a part of me that's thinking that she is definitely more like Penguin's mom than my own wonderful mother. you know what I mean? So
I can see it.
Yeah, that's where I stand on Vigilante's mom. I don't know if you guys see that.
I think he has like this sort of, you know, Leave It to Beaver type of aesthetic about him. You know, just the most suburban ever. That makes me wonder. And also, she taught him right, Zora. It is absolutely gross when you do not wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. Let it be known. And I feel like he gets his fastidiousness. I don't know. Yeah, it could go either way. It could be someone who's just like a real keep it all clean homemaker, or it could be someone who is always criticizing. Yeah, like you said. I like his whole overall characterization. The fact that he is clearly, you know, DSM 5 psychopath. And yet there's still specific other things about him. Like, we learned for sure this episode that he is ace, He's asexual. He says, I'm not a pervert. I don't quote unquote like sex. You do it to be with his best friend. I don't know. What do you think makes him different? Why do you think people have taken to this character so much? Why it's everybody's favorite?
Because we're all sick.
Yeah.
I'm readily questioning myself right now. Okay. I'm watching this show and I'm questioning myself. Why? Why is Vigilante one of my top three favorite characters on this show? He's terrible. He's a scary individual. Like in real life, if someone were to be around me in that way, dude, I'd be like, look, fam, I'm totally okay. I don't need any help. Please, please don't kill me. Just go over there and let me be over here. But I'm fascinated because I think I want to see just how closely they can mesh with each other. Because I think Chris is equally as terrible, right? Mm. But Vigilante gives off this almost, you know, childlike, wholesome demeanor, right? That he's, you know, not to say that he doesn't know what he's doing, but that he does it with such a joy, a joie de vivre that he has for all these murders that he's committing. You just want to know, how can this guy keep smiling and keep doing the things that he's obviously doing? What makes someone that way? And I think I'm trying to figure out that, which is why I'm drawn to the character.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Aaron?
I would have to agree that I could never hang out with him in real life, but definitely from afar, I just keep thinking to myself, I like whatever's wrong with you. He's such an entertaining guy. He's always doing his silly little dances and just trying to live up to what he thinks Chris's expectations of him are as a best friend. And there's something so genuine about the guy that you can't help but root for him and hope that everything turns out okay for him, even though he might be a murderer who has sympathy about tape. He's someone that you want to get in their corner.
Yeah.
What you just said, I'm sorry, the genuineness of him, that is true. Yes. Yes. And I also feel like, you know, I've been not a murderer, but wanting someone else's approval as a young person, as a kid, as a teenager, wanting to befriend someone who I had on a pedestal, you know, you know what I mean? I came out of those traits, obviously, you know, but he hasn't. So he's still trying to, you know, get in with what he considers to be the cool kids, you know, sit at the cool table, be best friends with this guy who he's idolizing. And I think he's probably mimicking. And he's Vigilante, I feel, because of Peacemaker.
Yeah. So, yeah, that probably. And, well, I suppose he has these murderous tendencies, too, that probably drive
him. That too. Yeah, they both do. They both do.
Well, I mean, it does. You know, I talked last week about my psychology professor who always made me think about this a lot and how, I mean, I think sociopathy, it's a dimension of human experience. A lot of people are, and most people do not become serial killers out of it. And it's just interesting to see, you know, this whole concept of living by a moral code to sort of prove to yourself that you can I don't know, because it gives you a thrill to follow these rules you set for yourself. And what if your rules are askew, as are his? And where does that come from? Like, right. I love the fact that they've brought up his mother, because I want to know about Vigilante's childhood for sure.
Right.
I think it'll be really interesting if we get to see his brother as well, because mm-hmm. it was his brother mm. and Peacemaker who were friends initially. And
yeah, where's he been?
Peacemaker. Yeah, in season one. Say, oh, isn't that my friend's little brother? Who the hell is that guy?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm wondering. I also want to see more of this kyphotic alien with the incinerator. We get this fun interaction.
Fuck off! Who's that guy? It's just some rude motherfucker who I say hi to every time and never says hi back.
What I love about this, I noticed this on rewatch, and you can kind of hear it in the file, in the audio clip I just played too, is John Cena breaks for just half a second before.
You hear it in his voice, the quake in his voice.
Oh, they must have so much fun filming this. I mean, this alien's got to come back. We've got to find out more about this alien, right?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think we're going to know much more about the alien. I think they've placed this alien to be, you know, really mysterious and ambiguous. And we're not going to learn much more about them aside from him being a rude motherfucker.
I hope they explore all the dimensions. Like, go fool everything everywhere
all
at once.
How can you explore all the dimensions?
There's 100 doors.
They said only 100?
Yeah, they said 100.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a lot of doors, man.
That is a lot of doors. That's a lot of doors to go through. They could explore at least, 20 of them. Is that good?
This season?
We could have a montage and then just, linger in the interesting ones.
All right.
Yeah. Little Doctor Strange multiverse of madness falling through all the different doors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go to the universe where the Batman exists.
It must be one of the doors. All right, Aaron, do you want to set up the new Argus crew?
Absolutely. In a flashback to Rick Flag Sr.'s first actions as acting head of Argus, we see Flag request the file on his son's death and then begin his surveillance of Peacemaker, who he now knows is the killer. In present day, 8 months later, Agent Fleury has been sent to oversee Economos' suspiciously unsuccessful surveillance project. After torturing him with misogyny and laments about his apparent bird blindness, Fleury tells Economos to do nothing about Chris and just go to their planned party that night. Behind his back, Fleury puts together a new team to act while Chris and Economos are away. Fleury did not have a very good poker face when he was on that phone call, did he?
He did not. No.
I mean, how could Economos must know that something was going to go down, but he just was, maybe that was contributing to, he's clearly feeling a lot of guilt at the party, which obviously the surveillance in general, yeah. But I wonder if he realized they were probably searching Chris's house while they were there.
Yeah. I really thought it was going to be Judo Master that showed up to watch over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, still no Judo Master. What the hell? I guess Judo Master didn't show up for a while last season too.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have questions about the timeline. So we have established 8 months ago was when Rick Flag became head of Argus. And I suppose he was head of Argus in Superman. That's the role he had, even though they didn't say it. But he definitely wasn't head of Argus in Creature Commandos because Amanda Waller was still giving him. So
orders. Yeah.
I guess in Creature Commando, he did not know about the cause of his son's death, but by Superman, he did know about the cause of his son's death. So we're splitting our internet points.
Yeah, I think that's the timeline.
Okay. All right. Where do we think Waller is now? Still in Belle Reve with Task Force M?
Escaped.
Did they say that? Escaped?
No. That's what I thought.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I don't think she can stay locked up for long.
Did they lock her up, though? I thought they just demoted her.
No, I thought they locked her up.
Oh,
I thought they locked her up. Might be wrong. I'll double check, but I thought she was locked up.
listeners, write in and tell us what your understanding is of Amanda Waller's current whereabouts. Or sorry, what was it? A-dubs. That's what economists called her. Jean, do you blame Rick Flagg for wanting to know the truth about his son's death? Like,
absolutely not. No. No. I mean it's go ahead.
No, just the fact that, like, so he has that exchange with Economos. Economos is like, I didn't want it to be upsetting. And of course, Economos wants to protect Chris. But he says, upsetting. Do I look like I can't handle it? And like, yeah, dude, you do not look like you're going to handle this.
I mean, how can you handle the death of your child gracefully? Mm-hmm. How could you, in the presence of the people who caused the death of your child? You know, so no, I completely understood where he's coming from. Like, I get it. I don't blame him for doing what he's doing, actually. Like, trying to get Peacemaker, I don't blame him for that. I don't think he's wrong.
Because I would do the same shit. Going for using government resources to go after a man who was given orders on a mission?
Yes, absolutely. That killed my son. Yes, I would do the same shit. And I probably wouldn't even wait to do what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I would obstruct immediately.
I mean, I understand the impulse, but he should not be in that position then if he's going to be abusing powers,
I don't think resources it's abuse of powers. Way. I don't think it's abuse of powers.
Hmm? For personal vendetta?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nope. Well, I guess I just don't. I mean, of course, I've rewatched the fight between Peacemaker and Rick Flagg Jr. recently because I rewatched the film. And Chris was prepared to kill him, but in the end, it was kind of a desperate moment act of self-defense. Like, I don't personally, I can't really completely blame him for what happened, especially since he was following orders and things like that. I wish it hadn't happened. I found it a gut punch at the time and continue to do so. And I understand why he would hate him. But, and by the way, Peacemaker gave a remarkably detailed report.
Yes, he did. He didn't lie. He didn't try to sugarcoat it. He said exactly everything that happened in that report.
Yeah.
I'm still killing you.
Very diligent. Very diligent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I think, in this case, I'm definitely not on Rick Flagg's side. What do you think, Aaron?
Part of me thinks that Rick Flagg Sr. is projecting onto Peacemaker that he might blame himself a little bit for the death, not because he had anything to do with the order, but because he definitely is the guy who pushed his son into that career path, pushed him to go into these dangerous situations, and Junior was probably taking on these missions so that he could impress his dad a little bit, and that's got to stick with Rick Flagg Sr. throughout this whole exercise, I think.
And what do we think about the rest of Argus? Do you have any thoughts yet about Sasha Bordeaux?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to see if they do anything with her that's, akin to her comic book character.
Yeah.
We talked about that a little bit last week. So how does that play? Does she, become like a OMAC or not? So I'm interested to see where it goes with Sasha Bordeaux.
Yeah, so far she's such like the straight character.
Yeah.
I need to learn more about her. I'm just like, she seems competent. Yay.
Get a good little insight into her personality when she reprimanded Fleury for adding the with bells on comment.
Right. And she was against, and she was, questioning Flagg on this, surveilling of Peacemaker, because she views him as a hero.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. She
views him. So it's not as if people don't see what Peacemaker has done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But again, just for me, for Flagg, they shouldn't have put him in this position, like you said.
But he should be, the person he should be going after is Amanda Waller.
She's a Amanda Waller didn't kill his son.
I mean, she didn't drive it.
She didn't drive that piece of metal into his son's heart.
I mean, the reason why they were in that fight where Chris did that in self-defense again is because she commanded Peacemaker to deal with him because he was, and now she wanted to kill the entire island of people.
A lot of soldiers do a lot of bad things on command.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Chris did a bad thing on command. And the notable thing is the entire rest of the group was was like, no, let's not kill the entire Corto Maltese population, whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the ultimate punishment for Economos being lax at his job, which I don't know why they would put him, like they said, because, do you buy this, Aaron, that it's a loyalty test? I guess he failed, if so.
I don't know. The thing that I didn't buy about it, if it was a loyalty test, is him taking pictures of the dimensional door on his phone. I don't think that's a secure device. I think if they're watching him, they're probably watching his personal devices as well. But no, I just think that they decided to put him there, and Rick Flagg Sr. thinks that he has complete control over Argus. I don't think it was a loyalty test. I think he just has a lot of hubris.
Yeah, I mean, because I also wondered why Economos, like, they didn't bug, for instance, Adebayo and Chris were able to have this whole conversation sitting on the stoop, and Fleury was there watching, just like, what are they saying? I don't know. I just, like, why would it not be bugged? Why would buy that Economos would be like, oh, I didn't think to do that, but why is nobody calling him out on any of this?
Right.
And Adebayo just flat out tells Chris he's being monitored by Rick Flagg Sr. and that he knows about the killing of his son. And I thought this was interesting. I noticed this on the second watch. He says, who told you all this? And she says, friend inside. And he says, I'm just going to pretend I don't know who this is. So I guess that means he understands that it's Economos?
Yeah, that's how I took it. Mm-hmm. That's how I took it.
All right. What do you think about what she says, that he should just give up the portal because they're going to treat it like it's a nuclear weapon in his house and send him back to jail?
Should She's he right. give up?
Yeah. I mean, they will treat him like that, yeah. But does that mean he should hand it over to the government?
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely I think he should destroy it on his own. I think the portal is bad for him and his mental health at this point, but turning it over to Rick Flagg Sr. is not the solution here.
Yeah, giving it to Argus, period, would not. Yeah, no.
I would have a hard time destroying it myself, to be honest, but yeah.
I think you have to. I think he has to. I agree. It's not good for his mental health, and it's just not. It's like this is the final vestige of what his father was. It's like, you know, and maybe that's why he's holding on to it in the way that he has. Before he found the portal to the alternate universe where, you know, he seemingly his alter self has a happy life. But maybe he was holding on to that because, you know, he really did kill his father, but this was the last vestiges of who his father was. Right. And maybe he has to let it go in order to let go of all that trauma. Maybe.
You make a good point, but interdimensional portal. I mean, I guess he can pull it out of the wall and take it elsewhere. If they go on the run, I was thinking about Aaron, that was your prediction, right? That they're all going to go on the run this season?
I think so. I think Economos is on the verge at this point. I still don't know how he got approval to go to that party with Chris. That's my big question, is did he have to run that past the Argus higher-ups in order to even do that? Because they seem to know about it.
Thought, do you think that the others might end up following Chris and replacing themselves in the other universe?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think we're very... Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, they'll follow him to the other universe, but they're not going there to replace themselves. I think Adebayo might have, if she sees a happy Adebayo and Kiya, you know, that might cause some introspection, right? Mm-hmm. What if Economos is a badass in that universe, like a ninth belt jujitsu master or some shit, you know? There'll be interesting parallels to play with, but I don't think they would want to replace themselves, no.
I can't stop thinking about, and it's because they brought it up in the episodes, but what is Vigilante's alter ego going to be like? Damn. Like what? It could be a totally different type of person.
I'd like to imagine he's still a busboy in the other universe, but just no superhero.
Oh. Maybe he got promoted instead of, what was his name? Dan, Kevin, Keith, whatever. Anyway. So what do you guys think about the new team that Fleury lined up of agents? And who has the best nickname?
Huh. What do you think, Aaron? I got to think about this.
I think Agent Klein, just by sheer numbers game, had the best nickname with Pony Boy. He got a few during this episode, but I enjoyed his nicknames a lot. The other ones were just blatantly offensive for the sake of being offensive from Fleury, but he at least put in a little creativity with Klein's.
Yeah, so we had Agent Tillerson was Encino Man, Agent Angler was Titties, Agent Vega was Mexicali, and then Agent Klein was Pony Boy, but he complained, so he was demoted to Barely Legal, but he complained, so he was demoted to Cupid Doll. Aaron, do you know what a Cupid Doll is? Is that, like, too old?
I sort of have a vague idea in my head, but it's a very abstract thing. I've heard the term before, and I'm sure that if I was shown a picture, I would be like, oh, okay, that's what that is.
Yeah. Oh, there's a link in the show notes if you want to see. But he does look like a Cupid doll. And he also, I ended up, because of the Pony Boy nickname, I ended up watching The Outsiders for the first time in, I don't know, at least a decade, because Pony Boy is the name of the main character in, you know, mm-hmm. Francis Ford Coppola's The Outsiders, I think from 1983. And he's, yeah, a young guy who, spoilers for a 40-year-old movie, goes on the run and dyes his hair blonde. So the nicknames weren't wrong. He was just the most inventive with the blonde guy. Go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. he's, by the way, played by Brandon Stanley, who played Leapfrog in She-Hulk.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Didn't recognize him at all.
We didn't see much of Leapfrog's face, I guess. But it seems like this is the character who is mentioned the most in casting discussions before the season. It's also the other one we saw walk away from the Eagly fight we'll talk about in a bit. So I'm guessing maybe that's the most important. But shout out, by the way, to the nickname he gave. I actually like his nickname for Economos, Ginger Cool. I think Economos secretly likes it too.
You think so?
Yeah. It's not a bad nickname. I mean, it's not insulting, you know? It's not titties.
I guess you're right on that accord.
That's the bar.
Certainly an upgrade from Dye Beard.
From Dye Beard, that's true. Yeah, he's moving up in the world. Any last thoughts on the new team before we take another break?
Nah, no. We hardly knew you.
I think we'll probably see some more of them, but probably most of Pony Boy, Barely Legal, Cupid Doll. And on that note, see you in a sec. All right, we are back to talk about the 11th Street rooftop kids. So basically, they all meet on Harcourt's rooftop for drinks, supposedly to welcome Economos back from his work trip. as the rest don't realize he never went anywhere and has been surveilling Chris. They clash and bond in their first group hang since Economos, quote unquote, left. So, Jean, hardcore check-in. How are you feeling about hardcore after this episode?
Gosh, you know my propensity to have people kick rocks. Well, yeah, Hawker can kick rocks. I mean, I have no time for people who are this way, like, quite honestly. I don't feel sympathy. I don't feel empathy. I don't feel anything but, you know, you are a grown person, please, who's seen the world, who's seen so many fucked up things. And she has a level of understanding that I don't think Chris has, and I don't think Vigilante has, right? Emotionally, intellectually. And for her to behave the way that she behaves is just, you know, maddening.
Right. I actually think that Chris has shown a huge amount of growth. And even this whole reeling in situation we got on the rooftop where he pretends to reel her in, and this happens.
I pulled you over here with my fishing line.
Yes, I saw that.
Maybe you think that's disrespectful? I don't know.
You could have torn a hole in my shirt. It's not cool.
I mean, he's kind of almost like, he's like thinking about his actions now. He's like, I don't know, was that like a disrespectful thing to do? Which, not really, you know, and she makes a joke about it in a cute way, but I think he's grown.
And up to this point, she's not thinking about her actions.
Right? Yeah.
So you're right in that Chris is actively trying to change and grow where she has not. She has not. And I think she's gotten worse up to this point. Can't say for the future episodes of this season, but right now she's just a terrible human being and who's not looking to get better. And I have no time for people that of that ilk.
It's interesting. She goes to the to the drugstore. She doesn't really try to hide what's going on, but then you see when she's going to meet her friends, that's when she is shamed for
absolutely.
It. She's hiding the bruising. And Adebayo, of course, sees through it. But Aaron, what did you think about, like, did you feel for her in the drugstore when the woman kept trying to talk to her about what she assumed was an abusive husband and she snapped at her?
I felt bad for both people in this scenario. I could tell the woman was just trying to do the right thing and reach out, and that can be an important thing. But Harcourt was definitely not in the mood and lashed out, so not great. But
I felt bad for Beaker.
Yes. He just was catching strays. He didn't do anything. But Harcourt this season, I think that something has to be the catalyst for her growth. And I'm wondering if it's going to involve her meeting this alternate universe version of herself. And the easy route there might be her finding a version of herself that's happier and is doing better than her. But I think it would be more interesting if she goes to this other universe and finds an even more messed up, unhappy version of herself. Because I think this universe is just, this alternate universe, we're going to learn it's just a lot worse than our own.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll look the same way it looked to Chris at first, where she'll be like, oh, this other version has her shit together more. And then she'll realize, no, she's actually a terrible person.
Right.
But she, Aaron, I think you were talking about this last week about that she and Chris are kind of mirrors of, or can understand each other in ways that the rest of the group cannot. And we kind of got the feeling this week that he is seeing her too clearly for her own comfort. And they had this exchange.
And you've just been so upset ever since Task Force X disbanded. I'm worried about you.
Worried about me?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, we both know that's what you'd like.
What?
Yeah, you'd like me to be some sort of damaged, broken bird. Because, you know, water seeks its own level and all that. Sorry. I'm not as fucked up as you, Chris.
I never said you were.
I'm gonna fuck this.
Water seeks its own level. It's ouch. Ouch. It's a water burn. Yeah, that was, for me, was the roughest thing overall, I think, to watch this episode, even more than Eagly ripping out an eye. It's to see her pushing Chris away like that.
Yeah, he's just trying to connect on a level that she's not ready for yet. And maybe she'll never be ready for that.
Right, right.
Yeah. I do love that this show, you know, it has one scene, and has, as I was just alluding, a bird pulling out someone's eye, but then it has, in another scene, you know, these deeply tender moments with people who, they're broken people, but they're actually, they're broken in the ways that we are all broken. You know, they just, because they have found this found family. And people like Adebayo, who have a shoulder and an ear, they're able to talk about it more. So it was really, as someone who's suffered from an anxiety disorder since I was a child, it was really interesting to hear Economos, for example, talk about his experience.
Mm-hmm. And what you gonna do? You just gonna, I don't know, just sit around and be scared your whole life?
Yes. I've had crippling anxiety since I was a kid. I don't think I'm going to change that much now.
Shit.
I like that Adebayo just like takes that in, and she's like, dude, that sucks. Like, sometimes it's the hardest thing for someone listening to do. And she just like, what'd she do? She like went to hug him or crawl on his lap or something. But she's the one who keeps them all together.
Yeah, that was a good interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's the glue. So we had Vigilante doing his butt dance. How do we think, so after, while Chris and Harcourt are having that whole conversation where she's pushing him away, we zoom back out and we see Vigilante dancing in his underwear with Adebayo and Economos pouring beer on him. What do you think led, what sequence of events led from butt dance to beer shower?
Yeah, I don't know. How do you explain that? Until I see it, there's no way I can think of what led to this moment where there's only one person in their underwear being and beer is being poured over that said person. Yeah, I cannot imagine personally how they got to point A to point Z so quickly. I don't know what kind of drugs, what gummies they took. Something must have, what was plopped in the beer has to be some other, or is just Vigilante just that, like without the drugs?
I feel like Vigilante asked for it. So like, this is something Vigilante's like, you know, it'll be funny. And Adebayo and Economos are drunk enough to go along with it.
That could be.
Absolutely.
That could be.
Makes him feel classy. Yeah.
I just kept thinking about all the broken glass and wondering if he was dancing on that.
Oh, no. I didn't even think about that. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, man. When he kept throwing the beers at Economos.
Hey, gonna catch beers.
Oh. So which of these characters do you most look forward to seeing their alternate universe version?
Oh.
And do you think any of them are friends? No, I'm sure other than Harcourt. I don't, do you think any of them are friends with that Chris?
I don't think so. I think that aside from Harcourt, it's a pretty isolated universe. I don't think Economos is going to be friends with Chris in this alternate universe.
No. I wonder if Adebayo and Kia are together in the other universe. I bet she hates Chris over there. Because he's probably with KKK dead. I don't trust Blue Dragon any more than White Dragon.
Yeah.
I don't think they're friends. I agree with Aaron. I don't think they're friends. Because I think they got to know each other because of the failings. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And from what we've just seen, the glimpses that we've observed from this alternate universe, Peacemaker is not failing. So he would have no reason to seek these other people out. Like, his dad is here, his brother's here. Mm-hmm. You know, they have great relationships. Like, he would have no reason to seek other people, these other folks out.
That's true. So, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they're friends.
Hmm. And maybe that makes him appreciate less that hardcore.
I don't know. I mean, we have to see why they broke up, right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to set up the final showdown?
Yeah, that's Eagle's turf. While Chris is distracted by the reunion with his friends, Fleury leads his team on a search of his property, looking for the source of the strange extra-dimensional readings. Only Fleury and company didn't realize that this is Eagle's roost, and he will suffer no shady break-ins. Three of the agents wind up hospitalized. Tillerson, a.k.a. Encino Man with one eye fewer, and Fleury and Klein, a.k.a. Pony Boy, a.k.a. Barely Legal, a.k.a. Cupid Doll, walk away to creep another day. Chris comes home from his party staggeringly drunk. Thinks Eagly claws this mess in his house and stumbles to the other dimension to drunk dial the other Harcourt, and overhears Augie and Keith Smith talking about their search for Chris, who has been missing for days.
The
fade
end.
To black.
Yeah. So Chris has some drunk things. I wonder how well drunk Chris can remember things, because he's got to remember he's apparently sleeping with a woman named Karen. So he's got to remember that if he's going to fake it. He has to come up with a story to explain the blood in the library they were talking about. And apparently he had Dimensions Chris had a pill problem, which sure tracks. Like, we can see Chris has an addictive personality when it comes to substances, but what kind of pills do you think? Like, do you think it like steroids, or do you think like uppers, downers?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our universe's Chris is not very discriminating.
Yeah, I could see him. Yeah, popping everything.
What do you think he's, what pain is he running from in this universe where he has his dad and his brother?
Mom? Maybe? Mm.
Or hiding himself to fit in with the family?
Maybe. Maybe that too.
Hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see who this other Chris was.
Yeah. Apparently he calls his hardcore Melia. And so that we got a broken heart emoji from her. So it'll be interesting to see explained. But it seems like there's no Eagly in the other dimension?
Yeah, I noticed that too.
What's that about?
If there's an eagle.
I don't trust a man who doesn't have an eagle. If his name is Chris Smith, a.k.a. Peacemaker. He needs Eagly to humanize him.
Well, would he need Eagly in that universe if he has his father and brother?
Yes, because you always need Eagly. That's the rule.
Can't trust a pet-free universe.
I need a flashback also. How did Chris and Eagly come together? This is a story I need to know. Like, did he get him, like, pluck him from the wild or save him from a reserve, like a sanctuary?
Yeah, he probably raised Eagly. That's the headcanon that I have, that he raised him.
He climbed to wherever eagles lay their eggs and...
Maybe Eagly fell out of the nest. And he found him during a training with his father in the woods. That's, I have a whole headcanon about that.
All right. Well, any final thoughts on this episode or what is coming? What you hope is coming? Did you guys watch the trailer for next week?
I have not.
I did. It looks like it's going to be a lot more eventful than this episode. A little quicker moving.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be exploring the other dimension, which makes sense. And then we're getting Michael Roker showing up as Red St. Wild, the eagle hunter. And now I'm like, well, now I understand why they're bringing in an eagle hunter. Eagly's a menace. I'm still on Eagly's side, but
that's that fight sequence between Eagly and the agents, that was so well done. Because eagles are big birds, right? I don't know how big they can get, but eagles are generally the big birds. I don't think they're the largest bird of prey, but they're big birds. So
congratulations, you do not have bird blindness.
To see Eagly just swooping in around and just attacking from above just was super dope. Like, they did it really well. Like, I can't imagine, you know, like, being in such a confined space and having this fucking bird just coming out of nowhere in the darkness, just like, ah, like, what is happening here? Like, this is crazy, nuts. And then you're just shooting blindly, you know, trying to hit the bird. It's like out of a video game. It was just like, it was crazy. That whole sequence was crazy. And I loved every minute of it. And when Flurry is outside, he's tending to, whatchamacallit. And who got their juggler?
That was Titties.
Okay. You said it, not me. So, right. And she's like, no, look up. It's not over. It's really not over. And then you just see Eagly dive bombing Flurry. I was like, oh, shit. This is nuts. This is crazy. Like, you got to be a sick mind to imagine all of this, you know, shenanigans. This is just incredible. This is incredible. This was really well done. It was really well done.
I love, my favorite part is definitely the walk away at the end with him, like, puffing up his badass wings and stuff.
Yeah. Like, Ely's a badass. It's like crazy. And then just walking back into the house, like, yeah, I have to show these motherfuckers a few things or two. You know what I mean? It's easy. This is what I do on a daily. You know, don't fuck with me. I won't fuck with you. They're like, yo, this Eagle is no joke. You know, I got to respect Eagly. Yeah.
So you're saying I should not be upset with Chris for leaving Eagly unattended to go in this other universe?
Hell no. But I think Eagly followed him. Because
you think?
Because he left the door open.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't close the door behind him. So I think Eagly is smart enough. Which was
dumb, but yeah.
Right, yeah. But I think Eagly is smart enough to follow him and close the door.
Well, I was wondering also if that's how the rest of the team will get in, because they don't know the passcode, do they?
Oh, that's true. Good point. Maybe Eagly didn't close the door. Maybe Eagly will lead them to the door.
To the other
dimension.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Because I was just like, close the door, dude. Close the door behind you. But, you know, like you said, he's not real smart, this Chris.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if the other Chris is smarter.
I don't know. He seems like, not that this has anything to do with intelligence, but he seems style-wise designed after the Jersey Shore TV show aesthetic.
Hmm.
In terms of the shirts and the chains and the leopard print.
Oh, okay.
I like
okay.
leopard print. Okay, I'm not. Okay. I'm not dissing it, but.
But he also seemed to have.
He seems more of a bro.
But he seemed to have a super grasp on his heroing, in a way Chris is just like, I'm going to shoot you up, bum, bum, bum. Other Chris was like, magic, what do you call them? Magic, whatever, throwing stars.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it seemed like he was working with the technology in a way that we haven't seen our Chris work with the technology.
Yeah, which makes sense, given that his father was, you know, trained him rather than just saying, right. like, there's some helmets. Right. Kill yourself or don't, whatever.
Right, right. So it's going to be, how quickly do they realize that that's not their Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's going to like say something that's going to alert them, something where he doesn't realize that he has to lie about who he is in certain ways, and he's going to mess up. I wonder if we'll meet Karen, the woman he's apparently sleeping with.
It's very possible.
Aaron, do you have any final thoughts on the episode?
I want to go back to the discussion on if anyone is going to be able to get into that door.
Mm-hmm.
I think that now that Vigilante has been in there, I think he's the type of guy who, while Chris is putting in that code, he's paying very close attention in case he ever needs to get in there. So if anyone is apt to bring the rest of the crew in there to rescue Chris, it would definitely be Vigilante.
That's a good point.
That makes sense. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah, but I did. I mean, who do we think is going to go through the door first? Chris's friends or Rick Flag?
Friends.
Yeah.
I hope so.
For sure.
Friends. They better shut the door behind them.
Because they don't, August doesn't know about the door, right?
No, not specifically. Yeah.
The guy who took the readings of the door is dead, no?
Mm.
And then his thing.
Wait, he's not dead, is he?
Yeah, I think that's the one of them.
He's in the hospital, I think. Well, he lost his eye, right? But that doesn't kill him. Was that him who did the readings of the door, Encino Man?
I don't know. I think he's dead. I thought he was dead.
I don't know. I guess also I'm influenced by the podcast where it sounded like they're in the hospital, the other three. But okay. I didn't think they were dead.
Okay.
That's what I took away as well.
But yeah. Tillerson's definitely down an eye. He won't be happy about that. Well, we've got six more episodes coming this season. We'll be doing our weekly coverage. The episodes drop on HBO Max Thursday evenings in the US or Fridays in most of the rest of the world. We don't have screeners, so look out for episodes on Sundays and Mondays. Next week's title is Another Rick Up My Sleeve, which has me... I guess rather than Rick coming through, what's the Rick in the other universe going to be?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I was also speculating, what if the quote unquote jarhead that, what if the jarhead that Harcourt is dating is Rick Flag Jr., but what if it's Rick Flag Sr.?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. That would be so fucked up.
Yeah.
Either one is going to be fucked up. Senior or junior.
Well, all right. Well, if you want to know why it's fucked up, also check out our recent Superman coverage and Creature Commandos coverage. You'll find those linked in the show notes. And Marvel fans, recent Ironheart, Fantastic Four, First Steps. We are doing Eyes of Wakanda this week, I think.
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully. And we'll be back for Marvel Zombies in October, Wonder Man in December. What's going on in Radioactive Ramblings? Remind us all.
Please. We are currently getting ready for Gen V. They have a new season coming out in about 2 weeks or so. And until then, we've put out a few Fallout lore episodes to get ready for that show coming out in December. And at some point, we will be back with the second Red Rising book, so that's something to look forward to. Although, cool. I've been kind of bugging Richard to maybe do a Brandon Sanderson Cosmere book club instead of a Red Rising book club.
Okay.
Why switching ship?
I've been really into the Cosmere books. I started them in May and I've just been absolutely blowing through them. I can't remember the last time I was reading a book series this quickly. So I just want to talk about it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Wheel of Time fan. It is known. And Brandon Sanderson famously finished the Wheel of Time after Robert Jordan passed away. And those are the only Brandon Sanderson books that I've read, but a lot of people in the Wheel of Time community are really into Cosmere. And it's just one of those ones. It's also like John and others working on me about One Piece. I'm like, but there's just so much. There's just so much to catch up on.
There really is. Read that first Mistborn book and you'll never turn back on it, though. You'll never be able to go back.
Oh, that's kind of what I'm afraid of. It's like I just get sucked in and then I lose months. Well,
it's a guarantee.
I'm looking forward to all of your coverage, especially Gen V. I kind of liked Gen V better than the most recent season of The Boys, personally.
Yeah.
Really?
I think that's a popular sentiment. I think it had a lot more heart.
Yeah, that's exactly why. I like heart. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like this show, too. Well, if you want to learn about music in mind, check out Nevermind the Music. Check out Properly Howard. They just did an episode about the new movie, It's Friendship. I still need to catch up on that. That's a movie that I really want to watch, hopefully this week. We'll Shift Dust, Dune book coverage, and the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast coming back soon with High Republic coverage. And setting up for subscribers the we're getting Star Wars Visions Season 3 coming up in October, and we're going to have three sequels there, and some are connected to some comics and books and future shows and things like that, so I'm going to be putting out some special episodes explaining all that for people on the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast Canon Padawan subscription feed. That's a lot of words. Also on the main feed, what's going on, Sean, on the main Lorehounds feed?
Let's see. We have Foundation Season 3 coverage with John and Marilyn. I'm really digging this season, personally. Their coverage has been really helpful for me because I am, you know, continually amazed at the knowledge that they both share around this IP, and this is really makes for good convo. But again, I strongly recommend Foundation Season 3 and listening to the pods as well. David is leading weekly coverage of Alien Earth. Again, strongly recommend that you watch Alien Earth and you listen to the pods, you know? And, you know, I had to comment after that 3-hour pod, like, Lorehounds back in effect. Summer's over. You know what I'm saying? I know it's Labor Day weekend. Summer done. We're done. It's back. 3-hour pods. Let's go. And also Gilded Age, which I haven't watched personally.
No.
But I know a lot of people on our in our circle, all the Lorehounds, everybody on Discord who really love this program. So give it a go, because I'm going to give it a go eventually.
Yeah, no, I definitely recommend the Gilded Age for anyone. I mean, of course, it's like about costume drama and history, but just also exploring new areas of American history that you might not think of, including, you know, the role of the Black elite in New York City at the time, and the like the woman who helped build the Brooklyn Bridge, and just all this interesting stuff with lots of fun drama. And the funny thing is, our podcast was almost 3 hours talking about the first three seasons together. And we set the record for the longest episode to date. 4 days later, David beat it with an Alien episode 3.
And just one more thing on a personal level, on the Discord, we have the comics versus, where I normally post, you know, about my weekly pull list. This summer has been crazy, so I haven't posted anything because I haven't gone to my comic pull list in about 2 months. So in September, you're going to get everything that I thought was really dope for the summer. So come check it out. You know, I always put up, you know, visuals of standout pages or covers from the books that I'm personally, you know, getting each week from my local comic book store, Bulletproof Comics, that's in Brooklyn. But yeah, you just come check it out, because it's going to be an overload of everything that I thought was particularly dope for the summer of 25. So check that.
And if you want to share your comics picks or your thoughts about Peacemaker or Marvel or anything else, send that to comicsvs@thelorehounds.com, and you'll find that link in the show notes. And we would love to include your feedback on a future episode. And feel free also, we love to get voicemails. Those are a lot of fun to listen to and sort of engage with you in the conversation on the episode. And also, yeah, Jean mentioned Discord. You'll find that in the link tree in the show notes. We do have a DC forum with spoiler chats per movie or episode of this TV show. It's currently under current shows. If you're listening later, you'll find it under franchises. And also, if you are able and are interested in extra content and in supporting us, we have a Supercast and Patreon where you get ad-free access to all of our episodes, including a bunch of bonus content where there's extra episodes for a lot of TV shows. There's also extra formats like what you watch in quick formats about other things that movies and shows that we've been watching. And our monthly second breakfast in 11sies. This month, Poutine came out, and Airplane is going to be the 11sies movie club this month. I did actually watch it before. I said I might not have watched it. I've definitely seen it before.
Okay.
And I did not have any of my hard seltzers.
Oh, what, you missed the opportunity.
I know. I spoke to Bull instead. All right. So I have from the Epic folder.
Oh, gosh.
In honor of Eagly, it's called I. Thank you to our Discord server boosters, Aaron K, Tiller the Thriller, Doob 71, Athena Adjalea, Listu, Nancy M, Ghost of Perdition, Radioactive Richard, and Adrian. Thank you to all of our listeners. You can help us out by leaving a nice review wherever you happen to be listening and sharing this episode with other Peacemaker fans. But thank you most of all to our subscribers who make this possible to keep doing this, our lore hounds, and most of all our highest tier, the Lore Master, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Adam S, Nancy M, Doob 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Matthew M, Sarah M, Andra B, Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Sub-Zero, Aaron K, Sally V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Listu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Neil F, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Polly S, Ilmariel, /Tim, Paul K, Bobby C, Jessica H, Red Zippy, The TCS, welcome, and always last, Adrian. All right. And thank you, Aaron, by the way, for the cover art. We mentioned it in the first episode. Yeah, I just want to mention it again.
Super dope. Super dope.
Oh, I had a lot of fun making it. Thank you guys so much for inviting me to be on this season with you.
This is great.
Any messages, final messages for the Peacemaker fans this episode?
Yeah, just watch it. If you haven't, start. And if you're watching, keep listening. And I got something to say to Kevin Feige. Recast T'Challa. Damn Sam Idris is T'Challa.
Just saying, if it were up to James Gunn, it would have been done by now. Just saying.
That's a fact.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Oh, fucking duck attacked me.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.